So usually when we think about coming to a meditation sit, we sit, there's a Dhamma talk, we hear, contemplate it, and then we think about it, and maybe we can grapple with it over the course of the time before the next Dhamma talk. Maybe we do, maybe we don't. It just sort of happens that way in practice. But the more I sit with sanghas, the more I begin to realize that the real wisdom doesn't come so much from what you individually know about a topic or Dhamma or your own understanding. It's what happens when your understanding begins to intersect with other people's understandings, and then some greater wisdom applies. It's sort of like that picture of people touching an elephant. Everybody thinks they know what it is, but if they all kind of took what they said together, then they could really see that they're actually with an elephant. So how do we as a sangha begin to understand something like these ox herding tales in our own way, when we're not Zen practitioners? And I think, so we don't, we, what that means by not being a Zen practitioner is we don't have someone who has mastered and come to understand these tales from the depth of them to help explain it to us. So the way we have to begin to understand them is how it intersects with each of our lives in different ways. And we can begin to see what I think Susan was so beautifully pointing out in the reading of the sharing was how all of a sudden we can see things that are unseeable, things that would otherwise be invisible. We can hear things that would otherwise be lost on us because we're looking at the world through our own prism. And all of a sudden, the practice and the Dhamma and the wisdom of Dhamma can come alive in ways we're not used to. So the way to make that happen is we are going to share the last Sunday of each month. I hope it happens through whichever, whether you're here on Sundays or on Thursday nights or on Monday nights, that we actually share our own expression of what this picture means to us. It's like sharing your own understanding of a piece of art. And gradually, as everybody shares their understanding of a piece of art, what could be a flat picture painting on a canvas can turn into something more alive. It's like when we read poetry and then people begin to express what that poetry means to them. The poem itself comes alive. And so in order to make these allow these pictures to come alive. That's what I'm hoping we do. So, Susan and I are going to give a shot at trying to explain what we will do in groups. So just a little bit about the groups. You may not have any artistic expression. You may just say, I just jumped on the call today. I didn't even know we were going to do the artistic expression. So I don't really have any artistic expression. But what you do have is the capacity to listen to other people's artistic expression, and you have an expression of that. That's what this is about. This is about learning to express how we're feeling or what's arising for us when we think about the searching for something that makes us whole and the difficulty in trying to find it. That's what we're talking about. So how this landed for people over the course of the month is very different. All these different talks we've had, all these different ways we've looked at these pictures and the little verse that comes with it. I think Susan is going to put the link for the Sims page that has that picture and verse there. So if you wanted to, you could just look at that picture, look at the verse, and share whatever expression comes up now, whatever you see in that link. There's no set way to do this. We're not creating a conceptualization of it. It's just whatever is alive in you right now. And what has been alive in me over the course of the month is what I'm going to share mine. And then the way we'll do it is we'll take turns listening to someone share their expression. If it's a picture, you just show your picture to the screen. I'm going to use some music so that you can see. You may not have music this time, but maybe 1 month you will have music. And I'm going to show you how you can share the music in your small group. And so we share the thing. And if we have time, we explain a little bit about why this is important to us. And then it goes to the next person and then they share. And then maybe at the end, we'll have a little time to kind of go back and forth. After we come out of the breakout groups, those of you that stayed can then openly share it with, you know, people. Some of us will be able to share it with the larger group. So the idea is gradually we are going to follow into this journey of an ox herder and find how we have all found our way through. And some pictures you'll have more connection to than others, but other people will have more connection than you. And gradually we'll begin to see what it is that made these pictures last for centuries as a very fundamental Zen practice. We can begin to see that over the course of the year. So to that end, Susan and I are going to try to model this. I do want you to know.
Yeah. Can I interrupt you for a sec? I sent the song to you, Laura, Lyndall, and Suze, the song that I wanted to offer in case it's going to break up from my computer. I sent you a text message on through your phone that you might be able to play it. But I will certainly play it from my computer. Sorry for interrupting.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you had read. I thought you were going to use something you read. You wrote.
Yes, but it's actually a song.
Oh, ho, 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 ho.
I know. Super brave.
I missed that. Okay.
That's because I probably didn't say it clearly because I was.
I missed that. Okay, great.
So I sent it to the others. Okay, great. So let me know if you want me to, when I should introduce a little bit.
Okay, great. Well, let me, so this is how, in order to do a song without sharing your screen, you'll need to have a phone, a separate device in order to play the song. And then you need to have a headset because people won't hear it naturally. They'll hear it through your headset. So you take your headset and you put it up next to it. And I'm going to start us off by sharing a song of what I think this searching, what this means to me as I think about this searching. Can you hear it?
Yes.
There are locks on the doors, chain stretched across all the entries to the inside. There's a gate and a fence, bars to protect from only God knows what lurks outside. Who stole your heart, left you with a space no one and nothing can fill? Who stole your heart? Who took it away? Knowing that without it you can't live. Who took away the part so essential to the whole? Left you a hollow body, skin and bone. What a robber, what thief. Who stole your heart and the key? Who stole your heart, the smile from your face, the innocence, the light from your eyes? Who stole your heart? Did you give it away? And if so, then when and why? took away the part so essential to the whole. Of do a hollow body, skin and bone. What a rubber, what thief, who stole your heart and the key? Now our sentiment is gone. Now you have no trust in no one. Who stole your heart? Did you know but forget the method and moment in time? Was it a trickster using mirrors and sleight of hand? A strong elixir or a potion that you drank? Hurt your heart, bruise it in a place that no one or nothing can heal. You've gone to wizards, princes, and magic men. You've gone to witches, good, the bad, the indifferent. Still our sentiment is gone. Still you have no trust in no one. You can tear down the walls, throw your armor away, remove all roadblock spirit gates. You can forget their abandons, dragons to slay. Don't forget that you defend an empty space, and remember the tin man found he had what he thought he lacked. Remember the tin man. Go find your heart and take it back. Who stole your heart? Maybe no one can say. One day you will find it, I pray.
So this is what I was like when I came to the Dhamma. That's who I was when I very first came. I was lost. And every once in a while, when I get triggered, I get stuck in that lost place and I don't know quite how to get my way through. So as difficult as it is, and this recognition I'm not there now, this picture reminds me of what it was like when I first stepped on this path, who I was, what I was like. It's difficult. So some of these expressions we hear are going to be, they're personal, they're difficult. And so we'll have to just hold each other's pain through some of these difficult early stages when we come into the path. So Susan, would you like me to play yours, or would you like to go, you're going to go next?
I can try to play it from my machine, but okay. I realize it's a voice memo from my Mac.
Okay.
It's, but I'd like someone, or you give me a thumbs down immediately if it's breaking up. And
okay. You're going to share your screen?
No.
Okay.
No. So, well, I'll just play it and then I can talk after. We'll see if it, in fact, will even register. So if you can give me a thumbs up or down.
Okay, I will.
Oh, all right, we'll try it.
I've climbed mountains higher than the clouds. I've rode rivers as wide as the night. Can't push much further. Where's the finish line? Looking for something to make me feel all right. Moving, grooving, never quite there. Never enough, not good enough, so difficult to bear. Leaning toward happiness, but it's just not there. No way out of this circle of doubt. Trying so hard, but can't get it right. As the snow geese dance above me in their funnel cloud aglow, they seem to know an invisible flow. Weary disease leaps to center stage. An etch-a-sketch of do-overs on my list to gauge. Cornered between right and wrong, I make my day. A mindful of children who've wandered off to play. Never enough, not good enough. Trying so hard, they can't get it right. When does it end? This writing perched on an idea. Then tumbling into the vortex of human longing again. Down the path, I look into the grass, and I see a four-leaf clover looking straight at me. I'm just waiting for its face to reveal the real me.
Okay.
That's very nice. Thank you. That was so beautiful. So why did you pick that? What was close to you about it?
Yeah, I have climbed mountains. I've challenged myself physically to do things, to accomplish results, always pushing, trying to be the best, and always feeling like I never quite there. It's not good enough.
It's very nice.
And I still ring with this circle of doubt is huge in my life now. There was most of my life just keep doing the same thing over, expecting different results, and trying to get it right, trying to straighten the line when the natural life curve, if you will, is like a snake shape. But I've so been focused on trying to get it right, trying to fix it.
Yeah.
What am I doing wrong? And I still feel this today.
Yes.
That I'm still trying to fix things, especially in my family. And when does it end? Like, for instance, writing this piece just perched an idea. I just can't stop. It keeps coming and coming and coming. It doesn't necessarily make it clearer for you who's listening to this, but the four-leaf clover happened to me. I was walking on the dike, and an immediate thought I had, I happened to be in a space where I hadn't been since for years and years and years. So this beautiful nature, I was walking on the dike, and I said to myself, wow, wouldn't it be wonderful to see a four-leaf clover? I don't know why I even said that, but in the instant I thought it, I looked looked down in the same instant I saw it. And reveal me. I've always waited for you to reveal me. I want that from the outside to show. Thank you for listening, everybody.
That was thank you.
Very scary to have you see.
Thank you so much. Well, this is what we're doing with each other. Don't you feel like you have a better grasp of this picture just from listening from the two of us? And so that, what do you think happens when you listen to more? That's what this is about, is opening up and feeling our way through these pictures. So for those of you that like to bow out here and not participate, I'm going to set up the breakout rooms. I appreciate you coming. We'll do this every month. And maybe you'll be able to join in a different month. For those of you that are staying, I'm going to set the breakout rooms here. And we'll just do it for 15 minutes just to give it a try. See how it is. Assuming, Susan, you don't go, you don't move.
Okay. Sure.
All right. So I'll open the rooms and just share whatever is alive for you. And then we'll come back and do the larger group in about 20 minutes.
Welcome back. How was that? So we have 10 minutes to share with the larger group. If anyone would like to share their offering or comment on the experience of listening and hearing and seeing the offerings, the expressions of the first, the seeking picture. Susan,
I just want to say that I felt like in my group, what happened was exactly what Tawari was talking about, that the sharing on an intimate level of what's really going on in our practice and lives, that collectively we are, the wisdom grew, the insights grew, the connection grew, and it was exactly what she was inviting us to do, and I'm very grateful to Steve and Linda in my group. It's just beautiful.
Thank you, Suze. Well, I don't know if any of your experiences, so show me, raise your hand if you did offer something to the group. Awesome. It's like half of you. Wonderful. Well, Sean and Bruce?
Hi.
Hi.
I need support. Sean and I need support. We're waiting for test results for something that could be really terrible. And we have to wait since last Monday, and we have to wait until Tuesday to find out. And staying calm and centered, the mind is just at times just totally lost. And we're both extremely frightened. And it could be absolutely nothing. It's very strange. I feel like I'm kind of drifting through that, stuck right in the middle of that first picture. So one of the things, the thing I offered is a poem by David White. And it goes like this. I want to write about faith. The way the moon rises over cold snow, night after night, slowly becoming that last curved and impossible sliver of light before the final darkness. But I have no faith myself. I refuse its smallest entry. So then let this small poem, like a new moon, slender, barely open, be the first prayer that opens me to faith.
I love you. I love you, Sean. Thank you. I just want to be still for a moment. My heart is with you. Feel the breath in the body. Allow the body to meet the heart, the mind. Let the breath reach the places where you feel tight, contracted. This body can be a safety. With what's here right now. Just feeling into the generosity of your vulnerability to be with us like this, and everyone holding you both. Prayers to you and all of you. We're coming to an end of our looking at the gallery. Okay. So if we can sit in reflection and know the power of this Sangha through Zoom, through our humanity, our willingness to be here and bear ourselves Thank you again, Bruce and Sean and everyone for being here with your practice, your deep practice